Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic, and my name's Terry Houlihan. This is kind of weird. It's like I'll watch these guys. I got something going on with my eye here, so like if I'm blinking a lot, I'm not winking at you. I mean, it's not that I don't love you all, but, you know, it's because of my eye. So Kevin was passing out this traditions checklist, and actually I emailed that to him. I got it probably from someone when I was at Founders Day, and I really like it because the thing about the traditions is they're about humility, you know, as an individual and as a group. And so this is a good reminder for me, you know, how am I acting at my home group? You know, am I following the traditions at my home group? And I was one of those people that just, you know, I just thought they were some kind of nebulous things that didn't really apply to me because, you know, I'm not like the rest of you people. Kind of like the steps didn't apply to me because I'm not like the rest of you people. But my sponsor, you know, kind of insisted that I was going to learn about them, and so I did. And you know, I started reading some of the AA literature, AA Comes of Age. You know, there's a lot of really good, really good books about the history of AA. And so I started to learn a little bit about them, but what really, I guess, lit a fire under me about the traditions was the first time I went to Founders Day. And you know, you go there and you go to Dr. Bob's house and you see these things and you see what a true miracle and gift that this fellowship is that they've given us, and you know, the things that they had to go through to come up with these traditions. You know, the big book was written and published in 1939, and you know, the traditions were published in April of 1946. So there were a few years where they were trying to figure out how to keep the groups whole and healthy. And to me, that's what it's about. You know, the steps keep us healthy, and the traditions keep AA healthy, and we need to keep AA healthy for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So they're very important to me. They're very dear to my heart. I've had the opportunity to listen to Gail LaCroix, who is the archivist for... I'm not letting any people... Am I supposed to let people in? Are they people waiting? I was supposed to do it, wasn't I? Okay, are we in? What are we doing?
I have no idea.
Okay, admit. There you go. Okay. I mean, I'll try to...
Don't let me bother you.
Certainly not. Not a bother at all, Kevin. Okay, but I'll kind of keep an eye on that. If, you know, anybody else knocks on the door, I'll try to remember to let them in. I don't know where I was. Thank you. Gretchen is in charge tonight, let me just tell you. Which is okay. She's the archivist for AA, and she just, you know, is just on fire about AA and how it came about. And, you know, she worked with under Nell Wing, who was Bill Wilson's secretary. And so she's just so passionate about this and so knowledgeable. And she breaks it down and makes it understandable. Like, how does it apply to us? And of course, our Harmon Vili, who is no longer with us, was also, you know, masterful at carrying these messages to us. So I think it's important to for us to keep carrying these messages. Let's see. So now I guess I probably ought to like start. I brought my traditions dictionary, or my 12 and 12 dictionary, and I brought my 12 and 12. I actually found it. I stole Jack's for a while, but then I, okay, we're getting next door mail. Next door South mail. That's okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to start, obviously, at the beginning, Tradition 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. And all of the traditions have a longer form. Some of them are way longer. But they are, the longer forms, I think, kind of help give you a little better idea of the direction that they wanted these traditions to go. So, the long form of Tradition 1 is, Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live or most of us will surely die. Hence our common welfare comes first. But individual welfare follows close afterward. And so this tradition one sets the groundwork for all of the rest of the traditions, because we need to remember it's about the common welfare. Because if we don't have the common welfare, if we don't have the fellowship, we will die. We will surely die. You know, I know it's been hard on a lot of us because we haven't been able to gather as much as we would have liked to. And so the internet connection is unstable. Do we care?
Not anymore. Okay. It's unstable than the people here.
Okay. Okay, now I got to let Denise in. There's a lot, you know, like I have to do a lot of stuff up here. What are we doing?
I'm trying to help. That's the other problem.
Okay, so all right. I'm just gonna ignore any other messages unless it looks like a person.
I'll take care of that.
Okay, thank
or
you.
Gretchen.
Or Gretchen Mill, yes, Gretchen. So tradition one, yes, and you know, there are the thing about the traditions is that it's. They are, as the steps are, subject to some leeway and some level of interpretation. And so I try to pretty much follow what's in the books, you know, when it comes to the common welfare. What does that mean? That means that the common welfare of alcoholics, the common welfare of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wrote some stuff down, but I don't know where it is, because it's Kevin. It's, I'm blaming it on Kevin.
It's all my fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault. And what I first thought about this tradition is that it meant that I as an individual didn't really matter. And that's not the intent of this tradition. We all matter. We are all part of the common welfare and we're all important. But we have to remember that it is the common welfare. And I don't know, I may skip around a little bit because I was reading a bunch of stuff today and I may skip around a little bit. I guess I should see what time it is. Okay. I'm looking at a clock that says 6:54. So we won't pay attention to that, I don't think. Okay, so I'm going to go on to tradition two now and I may end up circling back. Or you may have questions. So tradition two. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Now, I didn't really understand how that could possibly work. There's just not a formal structure. There are no leaders. You know, there are trusted servants, but there's no boss other than a higher power, whatever you choose that to be. However, we do have trusted servants who do things like, you know, set up the meeting and chair and secretary and treasurer and do all of the other things to keep the common welfare, to keep AA as a whole running. And so we do need that. But it doesn't seem to look like it would work this way. That's one of the coolest things about Alcoholics Anonymous. It works when it looks like it shouldn't. Because we do things exactly backwards from everyone else. And I guess that's good because we're alcoholics. The other thing about this is that this tradition helps us from getting too arrogant and too cocky, I think. That there are no leaders in meetings. You know, there's nobody that, you know, this is the president of this meeting and this is how we do things. Which is good because some of us, me included, may have a little bit of an ego problem. So it's good that there are other people to... What is he doing? There are other people to, you know, help each other's egos stay in check, so to speak. And it's good for the newer people. You know, we have to remember that. I remember there were a couple of meetings where you would go and the same people were the treasurer and the secretary for decades. And it didn't make sense to me then, and it doesn't make sense to me now, because this is about rotation of service. If we don't allow people to feel that they belong, and that they're valuable, and that they too can become trusted servants, then we're losing, you know, we're losing them, because service work is important too. So that's about it for tradition. It's funny because it talks in here about dividing some of us into two classes, one being elder statesmen and one being bleeding deacons. My sponsor calls those blow bags. And those are the ones who sit back and don't do anything, and tell you how you should be running your meeting. And I have counseled everyone I know that if they even think about seeing me start to act like that, that they are to kick me, because I don't want to be that, you know. Just because I have a lot of years of sobriety still don't know everything. You know, I'm still learning. And the thing about the traditions is it's kind of like, you know, you go through the big book, and every time you read it, there's something different that shows up to you, that sticks out to you. And for me, the traditions are like that too. And what, you know, this is such a God-given program. Every word means something. Every little word means something. And even the words that you just kind of gloss over, they have a place. They're there specifically for a reason for us to understand. And so, sorry about that. And so, you know, we don't really need leading deacons. We probably need elder statesmen to guide us. I know that I certainly did. There's elder statesmen in the room here who came to make sure I did this right. and so, hopefully I'm doing it right. I don't know. His expression isn't changed. Okay, I got a thumbs up, so we're good. My personal home group is the Friday Night Wesleyville group. And they say that if your home group isn't the best meeting in town, then you either need to step up and make it better or find another home group. I chose to try to step up and make our home group better. We have a small home group. It's a small meeting these days. But it's the meeting that my heart is the closest to. And so it doesn't matter who's there and who isn't there. It's really about me showing up. And that's part of this as well. That's part of the service work of being a trusted servant, is to show up at my own group, you know, because it's important. It's important for other people to see us there. It's important for us to give them a sense of stability. And I think that that's really important too. So I'm going to go on to tradition three, and I'm probably going to talk about this one for a little while. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. That is the short form of this tradition. And it gets misconstrued, I think, a lot. The long form says our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence, we may refuse none who wish to recover. Nor ought AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any two or three alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. And so when it says the only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking, they're talking about alcoholics. they're not talking about gambling addicts, and they're not talking about your wife, who has a desire to stop drinking, because you see, first I have to drink. You know, having a desire to stop drinking doesn't mean anything if my life hasn't already been destroyed by drinking. So that's really an important qualification, is that they're talking to alcoholics. Now, that said, that doesn't mean that I get to decide who's an alcoholic and who isn't. They were talking about, in the history, they talk about what they used to do in the beginning is they had every meeting that was then a formal meeting that was kind of, you know, letting New York know that they were available, New York asked them to send a list of all of the requirements that each meeting had, so that we could make sure that, you know, only alcoholics were allowed in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so they got letters that said, well, you know, we shouldn't let anybody in that's been in jail, and we shouldn't let anybody in who's been divorced, and we shouldn't let anybody in who's, you know, been homeless, and we shouldn't let anybody in who's whatever. And they said by the time that they ran through the list of all of the we shouldn't let these people in, no one would qualify for Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God they did away with that, because I qualify for a couple of those things that I just mentioned. So I'm grateful that, you know, that they gave themselves the opportunity and the time to weed through all of this stuff and figure out, you know, how important it is that all we have to do is say we're an alcoholic and we can be here and we can benefit from the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. There's a lot of controversy about this step, and it's clear. It's just clear. It doesn't need any kind of editorial comments from me. It's clear. Alcoholics Anonymous is for alcoholics. You decide whether or not you're one. And that's all. That's really, you know, that's pretty clear about that. And it's not that, you know, and I've personally taken people off to the side who have come in and introduced themselves as any number of other things, you know, and cross-addicted and all sorts of other things. And, you know, I've taken them aside after the meeting and said, okay, this is a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is how we introduce ourselves here. Do you think you have a problem with alcohol? And sometimes they'll say no, because the rehab sent them here because AA works. And it does. It works really well for alcoholics. Doesn't work so much for other addictions, but they've got their own deal. It doesn't mean that alcoholics who have other problems can't be members of Alcoholics Anonymous, because of course they can. If I stood up here and told you everything I'm addicted to, we'd be here for a while. But that's really none of your business. This is about my problems with alcohol. So that's what we talk about at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we have to be very, very clear and very careful when we're explaining this to people, because, you know, I remember how fragile I was when I was new. And if you'd have said, you know, don't introduce yourself like that, or you're doing it wrong or whatever, I'd have been gone. You know, so we have to be careful about this, but we also have to make it clear that, you know, we must keep Alcoholics Anonymous whole. And we do one thing, and we do it well. And that's about alcoholics. I honestly have tried to sponsor. I did it. Oh, okay. I've actually tried to sponsor addicts who were not alcoholics, and I was not successful, because the big book's very clear about how we identify. You know, what is our identification? You know, what do we relate to? Well, it's in the doctor's opinion. You know, I'm a distinct entity. And that distinct entity cannot be forced on anyone else. We can't make anybody alcoholics. You know, there's some people that I think could use the 12 steps and the traditions, but I can't get them to drink long enough to get here. So there's there's that. Yeah, you like that? Okay. Tradition 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. I think this is another one that kind of people get confused with as well. I'm going to read the long form of that. With respect to its own affairs, each AA group should be responsible to no other authority than its own conscience. But when its plans concern the welfare of neighboring groups also, those groups ought to be consulted. And no group, regional committee, or individual should ever take any action that might greatly affect AA as a whole without conferring with the trustees of the General Service Board on such issues or common welfare. Back to tradition 1 is paramount. I get a lot of phone calls from people who, I'm on Central Committee, so I get a lot of phone calls from people who tell me about certain meetings that aren't doing things the way that they think these meetings should be doing things, and that we should do something about it. And while I agree there may be meetings that I would like to do something about, it's none of my business. If it isn't affecting AA as a whole, each group is autonomous. And that means that if I want to let people who are non-alcoholics speak at that meeting, that is that meeting's choice. We try really hard at every meeting that I am involved with to stick to all of these traditions. You know, we keep it autonomous, we follow the traditions. And if you're speaking at my home group, you're an alcoholic. And that's just how that goes. So you know, these people call and say, well, can't you make them close this meeting, or can't you make them? And it comes right back to, you know, each group is autonomous. And sometimes that's not a really popular answer, because there are meetings who, you know, maybe don't follow follow the traditions as rigidly as some other meetings do. And again, we can't do anything about that. Now, we can do something about it. We can write a letter to New York. And I will tell you that if you write a letter to New York, you're going to get a nice letter back that's going to say, our group experience suggests that each group is autonomous. And because they're not going to give you an answer. Because that's the truth. And I hear people say, you know, if it's not a good meeting, if it's not following the traditions, if it's not God-centered, if it's not higher power-centered, it's not going to last. And that's been my experience, is that a lot of the meetings who started out to try to be an end, be all and end all for everyone are no longer around, because we do one thing and we do it well. So that's tradition four. Tradition five. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And the long form of that is, each Alcoholics Anonymous group ought to be a spiritual entity having but one primary purpose, that of carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So the question then becomes, what kind of a message is my home group carrying? Is it a message of recovery as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 Traditions, or is it some other message? And what I like about this, this obviously I've read this a couple times, and it says here, that is the central theme of this tradition. Around it, our society, sharper image. Okay. It's because it's beeping, so it's weird, and Helen's laughing at me. Around it, our society gathers in unity. The very life of our fellowship requires the preservation of this principle. And I like that we have a primary purpose. I have a primary purpose. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had no purpose in life whatsoever. You guys gave me a purpose to stay sober and carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all my affairs. So what is the message that my home group is carrying? You know, what is the message that I am carrying when I'm at my home group or when I'm at any meeting? Am I rambling about stuff that doesn't have anything to do with my alcoholism? Am I doing a disservice to my home group by allowing people to speak there who are not alcoholics? This is the singleness of purpose that comes in, that, you know, we know that there's been some controversy about that. I'm really big on singleness of purpose, and I speak from my own personal experience here. If I had come to Alcoholics Anonymous and heard somebody talking about gambling or heroin addiction or any other thing other than alcohol, I would not have felt comfortable here. When I walked into the first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, as uncomfortable as I was crawling out of my skin, I still sat down and I took a breath, because I knew I belonged here. I knew I fit in. I knew that you guys understood me, and you still do. And that's the value of all of these traditions, is that we've got to have that common understanding. We've got to have a singleness of purpose. And it's so important to me. You guys really don't care if I have an addiction to chocolate, and you can't relate to it, or maybe you can. We'll go to a different meeting for that, though. But you can relate when I tell you that I drank against my own will. I drank when I didn't mean to. I drank when I wasn't going to. I had no effective mental defense against that first drink. That's an alcoholic. And that's what we talk about with singleness of purpose. That's what it is. And I know a lot of other people who are alcoholics, and they have other addictions, and they are valuable members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they are to me personally, because they teach me about some other addictions and how I can help those other people in other ways. This doesn't say that we can't help other people, but we can't help other people in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have friends who have other addictions, and we talk about those other addictions, but we don't talk about them in Alcoholics Anonymous. and I'm really grateful for that. Still, when I walk into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I know that whatever I say, if I tell you guys I'm having a crappy day, if I'm having a good day, if it's just life sucks, you guys get it. I don't even have to explain myself. And sometimes I walk into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous and I don't have to say anything and you guys know. You just know. And that is one of the most precious gifts to me that the traditions have given us, is that big common bond that says we're all the same. We're all the same. Our stories might be a little bit different, but deep down we're all the same. We're searching for something, and we're searching for a higher power. And this is where I found mine, was here. And all right, I don't know what time it really is. 6:08. Okay. Oh, duh. Okay. 6:08, same as my watch. And so Tradition 5 is the one probably that I speak with the women that I sponsor about the most thoroughly so that they can understand. Because I remember coming in being new and saying, let everybody in. We'll figure it out later. And, 2 years sober, that was my thoughts about it. When I started to watch what happened to those people that we let everybody in and they went back out and they died because they didn't belong here. They didn't have the common bond here. They didn't share the thing that we share that make us a different and distinct entity. They didn't share that obsession for alcohol and the allergy to alcohol that we have. And so I couldn't help them. You know, we couldn't help them. So we help alcoholics, that's what we do. That's our job. We do one job, we do it well. Okay, so now we're going to Tradition 6. I'm gonna come back next week because I'm excited to hear Leslie speak on the last six too. now this is one of the longer ones, the long form. Problems of money, property, and authority may easily divert us from our primary spiritual aim. We think, therefore, that any considerable property of genuine use to AA should be separately incorporated and managed, thus dividing the material from the spiritual. An AA group, as such, should never go into business. Secondary aids to AA, such as clubs or hospitals, which require much property or administration, ought to be incorporated and so set apart that, if necessary, they can be freely discarded by the groups. Hence, such facilities ought not to use the AA name. Their management should be the sole responsibility of those people who financially support them. For clubs, AA managers are usually preferred. But hospitals, as well as other places of recuperation, ought to be well outside AA and medically supervised. While an AA group may cooperate with anyone, such cooperation ought never to go so far as affiliation or endorsement, actual or implied. An AA group can bind itself to no one. If you've read any of the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, then you know that they had big plans. You know, they were going to make all this money, Bill Wilson especially, who had a little bit of an ego problem. You know, they were going to open all these hospitals and rehabs, and, you know, they were going to make them AA, and they were going to make a lot of money, and they were going to save all these people, and they were going to get big contracts from all these companies to, you know, they could send people to, and they'd be fixed. And the other people who were much more level-headed and wiser said, Bill, we're not doing that. That's not what this is about. And it makes me sad when I see businesses or celebrities or somebody who talks about AA as if it is theirs, as if it is a business, as if it is something as a public commodity. You know, they told me early, you know, you don't put your name on anything that's going to the public. If you're going to speak to the public, you do not use your last name, because if you go back out, what kind of an example do you set? What will people think about Alcoholics Anonymous if you're the only face they see? That's a lot of responsibility, and it's one that I'm glad that they took away from me, because my ego might have allowed me to think like that. Yeah, I can do that. I can start charging people to come and learn about Alcoholics Anonymous in my living room. This tradition kind of prevents that, and I'm grateful. I cannot imagine charging for something that has been so freely given to me. And for something that I am so appreciative to be able to give back. And, you know, they talked about it. They talked about it a lot in the history. And they tried a few things. It didn't really work. And so, again, this is such a God-centered program. You know, a higher, if you don't believe in God, higher power, you can use whatever terminology you want. This was handed to us. This was all a huge gift. Because all of these things were just figured out early. So that when we walked into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, all we have to do is follow a few simple rules. The 12 steps and the 12 traditions. We're pretty lucky, I think, that it's all been laid out for us. And we don't have to do anything but follow the guidelines of our founders. Which is good, because I don't think I probably should be making any new rules up. So I think I'm just going to go along with the ones that they've already laid out. And it is 6:13, so I think that'll do it for now. I think they'll do it for now. Thanks.
Okay, so now we have some time for questions and answers. Who has a question for Terry? Is there anybody in the room here or on Zoom? We could start it in the room.
Hi, Terry. I'm Patrick. I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Patrick.
This question, I think, implicates the third tradition and maybe the sixth tradition as well. But we've all been to meetings where, like, a busload of inmates or Gaudenzia people or something like that comes in, and they've been sentenced to AA, essentially.
Yes.
So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the appropriateness of that, and also what you think AA's thoughts are on the appropriateness of that. In other words, is it appropriate to be sentenced to AA?
Did you guys hear the question? Okay. My thoughts are my thoughts. What AA thinks about it, I don't know, because, you know, their group experience suggests. I will tell you that, you know, my home group used to get a lot of rehabs, and they would, you know, come up with the slips, and, you know, and they, you know, do whatever they did, and, you know, drink all the coffee and eat all the cookies because they didn't get that stuff in the rehab. And they kind of hang out in the back, and, you know, they didn't really socialize with anybody else. And, you know, that was it. And then they'd shuffle up at the end of the meeting and get their slip of paper, and they'd leave. And I was really adamant about not giving them back those little slips of paper until the meeting was over, until after the Lord's Prayer. I've personally changed my thoughts on that. At our home group, we sign the slip and we give it back at the beginning of the meeting. And we do that for a couple of readings because a couple of reasons. And one of them is we found out that if you tell an alcoholic he can leave, he's going to stay. And they do. And if you give them a choice to leave, they usually behave a whole lot better too. And do I think that that the courts are really trying to put a lot of their responsibility onto us? Absolutely. I sign slips, but I don't use my name. I sign it with my initials because I don't know. And again, this comes back to, you know, me and the ego, and what if I go back out? I don't want somebody looking at my name on a piece of that paper and saying, well, she just went back out, so AA doesn't work. So I use my initials. And I don't know where those pieces of paper go. I don't know who sees them, judges, probation officers, you know, his Aunt Susie. You know, I don't know. But I do know that a lot of people who came in here on paper, maybe they left after they got off paper, but they're here today. And so while I think the courts are kind of taking the lazy way out, and I think maybe some of the rehabs are taking the lazy way out, that's not our job to judge. It's not our job to decide that. So, again, each group is autonomous. If your home group doesn't want to sign slips, that's okay. Does that answer it?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Oh, Helen. Helen has it.
Hi, Helen.
Go ahead. Jim. That's Jim. He said, go ahead, Helen.
Okay. Well, just a curiosity thing. You said, you know, someone introduced themselves somewhere in a meeting, and you went up afterwards and asked them if they were an alcoholic, and they said no. My question is, oh, by the way, you did a great job, and I'm so proud of you, because I knew you way back when. That same scenario, if this were a if that were a closed meeting, how would you talk to that person then?
Okay, what she said was, in reference to me talking about taking someone to the side after a meeting if they introduce themselves as something other than an alcoholic, if it were a closed meeting, what would I do then? I actually had that experience at one of the closed meetings at the club. And I do the same thing. And this one particular young girl, she went to a lot of meetings at the club. She didn't realize... the internet connection was unstable, so I figured I'd wait a minute. Because I know what it looks like on the other side. It's really weird. And she forgot that the Monday meeting was a closed meeting, and she didn't really understand what it was. So what I do is when I take them off to the side, and I will usually do that at the beginning of the meeting if it's not going to be big and disruptive. I'm not going to go drag somebody out, you know, and be disruptive. But if I can do it quietly and explain it is that it's a closed meeting and, you know, your grandma can't be here, you know, whatever it is, they're generally pretty receptive to that and they're pretty good. If they're disruptive, well, that's on them. But I explain what a closed meeting is, and when they understand what a closed meeting is, they're very okay with it. You know, they understand. And, you know, there's a few who are like, well, this is because you're special. Well, no, we're not special. Sometimes we just want to know that there's not children in the room, that your grandmother's not in here. There's stuff your grandmother doesn't need to hear about my life, you know. And I get to see Helen's cat's butt, by the way. Jim.
Thanks, Terry. It was not a personal statement.
Thank you. It was not a personal statement.
Principles before cat's butts.
Yes. Principles before cat's butts, yes.
Okay. In answer to this young man's question over here, each group can call these places, and that's what our home group does, and tells them, you have more people than we do. We can't help you. Can you please bring less? And they're very receptive, you know.
Excellent.
And the other thing you can do is tell them about their behavior.
Yeah.
I know a lot of times the girlfriend shows up outside and they show up 10 minutes after the meeting starts. So you tell them that's not acceptable behavior. We do not have to put up with unacceptable behavior as a group because it hurts AA as a whole.
True.
My question to you is, who's more important, the group or the person, the alcoholic?
What it says is the common welfare comes first, personal recovery follows close after. So it is the group. And thank you, by the way, for bringing that up, because what I have done at meetings where a lot of slips come up to wherever I might be chairing or secretarying, if there is poor behavior, I will call that facility. I will also write it on the slip. And boy, do they get mad when you do that.
The follow-up to that is we went up to Buffalo and they talked about their traditions, and one of the things they said that was helpful is if the person who comes in is not an alcoholic, that we would carry pamphlets in our group of the other groups. So if it's an NA pamphlet or an HA pamphlet, in Heroin's Anonymous, alcoholics are not allowed.
Right.
So they'll hand you a pamphlet to AA and say, go to it. You know, so that's been a godsend. You know, we don't stand up and say you out.
Right.
We quietly go over and we talk to them after the meeting. We let them stay, and we talk to them after the meeting. Say there are other groups if you don't feel comfortable here that you can go to. So that's really helped a lot. You know, we in the old days, I went to a meeting where a guy said, are you an alcoholic, to another guy, and he says, well, I don't know, and he drug him across the table. I mean, them old guys were nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and said, you know, either you are or you aren't. So, and because of that, a lot of this stuff is all evolving. Like, I don't go to meditation meetings, only because I would never take a new person there, because that's cultish to me. You know, and our primary purpose is to help the newcomer. I think that's important because AA as a whole is affected. So, if I offended anybody, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry at all. This one? So Jim's going to be talking on the traditions too.
Eventually.
Okay.
I haven't told him.
I think he knows now. Yeah.
I have a question.
Okay.
Gretchen, alcoholic.
Hi, Gretchen.
So, first I have a comment. just to say, having been one of those people from a rehab on paper, 27 years later, it works.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. Although I had a very brilliant parole officer, too. But anyhow. So one of the things I've encountered, and I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on this, is getting to this, the third tradition. And first of all, thank you so much for doing this. Because it's one of the things that we talk about, is that there's, in my opinion, there's not enough conversation mm-hmm. about the traditions in the meetings. There used to be more so when I was newer. So thank you to everyone involved in doing this. This is fabulous. So with respect to the third tradition, I was chairing a closed meeting, and individuals came in support of the alcoholic, but they were not. And so as the chairperson, you know, I addressed that in a kind way,
mm-hmm.
And not like you say where it was... After the meeting, however, there were some people who have a significant amount of time in the rooms, and one of which was a member of the home group that took issue with me doing that. So what do you recommend to people when they're sitting in the position as a chair to follow the traditions that have been set by the group?
Yeah, well, I've had a few old-timers address me the same way, and I don't care what they think. I don't care what they say. If I know the traditions better than they do, then they need to sit down and shut up. Have I said that to some of them? Not exactly like that, but I have said, where does it say that in the traditions? And if I ask them that question, 9 times out of 10, if they're taking issue with me following the traditions, they don't know what they are anyway. And so that's, you know, I bring it back to the book. Where does it say that in the traditions? Then it lets me off the hook, and when I'd really, you know, rather, you know, just tell them they're jerks and whatever.
Drag them across the table.
Yeah, right. Drag them
across the table. What we used to do was vote. If the people all felt comfortable in the mm-hmm. room, would you mind, like when we have nurses come in and stuff like
right,
that,
right.
they would vote. We've had the press come in, and we would vote, are they allowed to stay? If they vote yes, then they will stay.
Right.
If they vote no, then they will ask to leave.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, you know, a group being autonomous mm-hmm. as well.
Each group votes on its own.
Exactly. So, but thank you for sharing that, because I think that, you know, for those of us that may be a little bit thicker skinned than others, it's not so
right.
much an issue. But
yeah.
for a newer person that's chairing a meeting, if they're put in that situation,
yeah.
you know, we need to
share that
message.
And I'll back them up, and I always tell them,
right.
take it back to the book.
Right.
If they want to argue with the book, no. that's on them. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Leslie.
Leslie, alcoholic, and of course another country heard from. This has happened in my home group, but the funny thing is, I don't know how this got forgotten, but the group previously, when it was started, and once a year thereafter, continues to vote the meeting to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
Yet when these episodic people who don't fit the third tradition show up, And it's really, it's like, well, we voted, you know, there's been a group conscience on this. We're a closed meeting, and if y'all don't like it, you can call another group conscience in 2 weeks, and we can talk about it. And it really, it just is as simple as that. For my own thought, I think sometimes the alcoholic needs to get away from that support person every so often. You don't know, they might need to get set free for an hour to really...
Yeah.
Vocalize exactly. Whatever it is that's on their mind. Exactly. And that's another purpose of having a closed meeting,
exactly.
Is that it's just only us chickens in here,
that's
you know,
right.
And
that's
we
right.
can be free. So thanks so much, Terry. I was really curious how you're going to get, this is a lot of material in a short period of time. So
thank you
set the bar high. So thanks very much.
Thank you. You know, the other thing that I will say, like the girlfriend meets, the first thing I tell them is this is not a couples program. At all. This is not a couples program, and you need to go find something else to do. Okay. Does that mean you have questions?
Always.
Kevin has questions. I know you're all shocked.
Anyway, we only have 2 minutes, so you have to be quick. What I would like you to do, excuse me, is to end this with, you know, we had talked about a closed meeting, and you talk to people. What do you tell people? Could you explain what a closed meeting is? So, on the tape, they know what a closed meeting is. If they just hear that, they don't know
okay.
the explanation of it. Okay?
Well, I would say ask their sponsor, but since we're recording me and we want this there for posterity, a closed meeting is for alcoholics only. Just alcoholics, not alcoholics and their support person, not alcoholics and their rehab driver, not alcoholics and anybody else, just alcoholics. And an open meeting, this is where people get confused. An open meeting is for anyone to attend. However, only alcoholics may share at an open meeting. Everyone else is a visitor.
Perfect.
Okay. I did good?
Thank you, Terry.